Reward for the cleavers. Let's go to John 15:15 first. John 15, yes. I forgot. All children are supposed to go to children's church. Some people didn't get that. Okay. That's good. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And then turn over to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let me begin by saying, as Jesus got closer to the cross, simultaneously, he got further away from the crowds. The closer that Jesus got to the cross, the further he got away from the crowds. He got further from the big crowds, and he drew nearer to his disciples. So Jesus had something that he wanted to show his disciples. John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore because you've progressed from the place of being called a servant. Now I'm going to call you friends. I want you to know this is something that's very important for Jesus to call them friends. I believe that Jesus needed friends like anyone else, like you need friends, like I need friends. He knew his time was coming close when he was going to suffer, and I believe that Jesus did not want to suffer alone. As a matter of fact, we know that when he went to the garden, he came to Simon Peter and he said, could you not tarry for 1 hour? Couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour? And so Jesus, I think, knew the necessity for having friends that would come close to him. Proverbs chapter 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. I want you to repeat that with me. A friend loveth at all times. Is that sometime? All times. Okay, let's say it again. A friend loveth at all times. Do you know what the word all means? All. Yeah. Jesus understood the word friend because Jesus had called Abraham his friend. Why was it so important? Because Jesus was looking for someone whom he could trust with the most precious thing in the whole world, and that was the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was looking for a repository, for a place to put the Holy Spirit. And so he knew that if he had a friend, he could put the Holy Spirit there and it would be entrusted to that person. Jesus knew that until he had some people who were his friends and who were friends with one another, he could not trust them with the Holy Spirit. And that's what is the rise and the fall of any church. I want you to know the rise and fall of the church is not in great preaching. You can have the world's best preacher up here. That is not going to make the church rise or fall. It's not the building. It's not the programs. It's not the singing. It's not the great organizing. It's not the great evangelistic services or crusades. It's not the great numbers that makes a church. What is the thing that makes a great church? It's encompassed in one little phrase. And that is, can we be friends? Jesus, at the end of his life, was looking for friends. I'm asking you now, can we be friends? There are only two types of people. I said the other one was tithers and robbers, but now I want you to look at the book of Ruth. This is where I'm going to preach from. Ruth, Ruth chapter 1. Let's look at Ruth chapter 1, starting with verse 13. Would you tarry for them all till they were grown? Would you stay with them would you stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes. The hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, what had happened up until this point was that Ruth had left with her husband Elimelech and had gone to Moab. In Moab, her two children, her two boys, died. They got married, and then after they were married, they died. And so Ruth was asking here, now, would you, if I were able to have children right now, would you wait long enough until they were grown to make them your husbands? And Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah. There was a terrible famine at that time. And the word Bethlehem, Judah means the house of bread and praise. And then she goes to Moab. Moab is the accursed place. And her husband Elimelech died. Her sons Chilion and Mahlon died and left her with two daughter-in-laws. One was a kisser. The other was a cleaver. And one's name was Ruth. The other's name was Orpah. How many of you have ever watched or heard of Oprah Winfrey? Anybody here heard of her? Okay. When she was born, her mother wanted to name her Orpah, but she couldn't spell it right. And so it came out as Oprah. Orpah was supposed to be her name. Orpah means a wash pot or a little pot. Orpah is somebody that that we need to remember because Orpah was a kisser. Orpah knew how to kiss, she knew how to cry, and she knew how to say bye-bye. Orpah knew how to be very emotional. She was an emotional woman. She knew how to say all the right words. But when it came right down to being a friend, all she could say is was the right things, but when it got right down to it, she would say bye-bye. Now, then there was Ruth. Let's look at verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. There's the difference. Orpah was a kisser, and Ruth was a cleaver. It says she clave unto her. She was a cleaver. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has turned around. She's gone back to Moab. I'm not going to have any more sons, so, you girls might as well go back. You got a better chance of marrying someone then. So what happened is Orpah leaves, and Naomi says to Ruth, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her God. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth says, entreat me not to leave. Entreat me not to leave. And then she says, for whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. And if I don't do this, may I be separated from the Lord. That's an awesome vow. That's an awesome vow. Orpah means wash basin. was in Moab, the accursed place. Orpah died in Moab. Orpah died in Moab in the middle of a time of curse that God had put on Moab. We need to tell our neighbors, I'll never be an Orpah. I don't want to die in an accursed place. I don't want to die away from God. We need to want to be close to the Lord. Ruth was not a kisser. Ruth was a cleaver. Now, I want to show you something today that I hope you get. There's a sevenfold blessing to a cleaver. If you're going to be somebody who's going to cleave, there's going to be a sevenfold blessing that you're going to receive. First of all, I need to just back up for a minute and say, if you had been with Naomi at this time, any one of us, and she says, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, back to the house of bread and praise. How many of us would look at her and say, wait a minute, you left that place. You went to the accursed place. Are you still in the will of God? Is God in this? You know, a lot of things happen to us that we cannot really explain. God will not allow us to know him so that you will learn to trust him implicitly and never charge him foolishly. See, when things happen to us, sometimes we say, God, why? Why did you do that? Why did you allow this to happen? God wants us to learn to trust him implicitly, never charge him foolishly, because that is tested by your relationship to your friends. This was a test, but Ruth would cling to Naomi. Let's watch the rewards of the cleavers, not the kissers. First of all, she got to go to the right place. She was in Moab, the cursed place. She got to go to the right place. To Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise. How many of you want to end up in the right place? Anybody here? How many of you don't really care where you end up? We've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, but what we need to do is we need to admit it and we need to quit it. So we need to go to the right place. So the first place that she did was Ruth went with Naomi to the right place. The right place was a house of bread and praise. Then the second thing that she got was she got to meet the right man. Now, we can spiritualize the scriptures all we want. You know, I think a lot of times what happens with Christians is that we begin to spiritualize the scriptures instead of taking them for what they are. But you'll find that Ruth is in the genealogy of Jesus. That's fact. That's not spiritualizing anything. That's just saying Ruth was in the genealogy of Jesus. And God took this little girl from the accursed place because she became a friend. And this is the important thing. Because she became a friend, she gets to do all these great things. Now, number one, she gets to go to the right place. Number two, she gets to meet the right man. And she became a friend and introduced herself to the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer, Boaz. She met the right man. She went down to his fields to glean the grain that would fall to the ground and saw her, and God had his anointing on Boaz. God's blessing was upon Boaz, and blindness was not on him because he knew what he saw. He said, who is that young girl? Now, can you imagine a young girl today going out into an oat field and picking up the grains of oats after the harvesters have gone through? That'd be quite a chore. And so we see that what's happened here is that now Boaz, who owns the field, says, okay, let that girl go. And as a matter of fact, give her some extra grain so that she has enough. Church, I want to tell you something today. There are people in your life, or that could be in your life, that aren't going to be there unless you meet the right friends. You break covenant and you won't come in contact because God won't let it happen. Boaz was the richest man in town. There were hundreds of girls there that were gleaning, and God had him stop and see one. I began to look at that and I thought, was it just because she was pretty? I don't think so. People ask questions all the time. Why are some people promoted and others demoted? Why are there some that seem like they can never get ahead? Why did God allow this little girl to be lifted up out of all the rest of them? Why? We come with questions in our lives. God, why is this happening? And unless we have the right friends, unless we have a friend, I want you to know that it's none of this stuff is going to be possible. So she had the right friends. The third thing that she had was she had the right reputation. Look at chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art to trust. So what we see is that she has come, and she has a reputation that is going before her, because Boaz says, I see you. I understand. I know you. I know that you came with your mother-in-law out of Moab, and you've come here, and now you're gleaning here. He's saying, because of what you sowed in faithfulness, you are going to reap in faithfulness. Because you sowed in faithfulness, because you are a faithful friend, your reward is certain. You can bank on that. Let me tell you something, church. The esteem for ministers and the ministry has never been as low as it is today. The esteem for ministers and the ministry has never been lower in the history of the church. There's never been a time in the history of the church that men and women of God were thought less of than right now in this period of time. A good name and a good reputation is better to be had than anything in the world. All you need to do is turn on the television and listen to them mock the church. Oh, the church, the pastors have done a lot to add to that, but it's come to a time where the church is so taken lightly. People don't take the church in what it teaches and preaches. They don't take it very, very well. As a matter of fact, they think they can change it all. They think they know better than God. There's a difference, a real difference, between kissers and cleavers. And I want you to know that until a test comes to you, you will not know whether you're a kisser or a cleaver. There has to be a test to show you which one you are, if you're a kisser or a cleaver. You may vacillate a little bit. Peter vacillated. He said to the Lord, Lord, I'll never leave you. But then he will say just a little while later, I never knew him. So he's vacillating. But the point is, if you're a cleaver and not a kisser, you will go out and weep bitterly, but you will come back. Peter went out and wept bitterly after Jesus just simply looked at him.
but he did come back. Every relationship is going to be tested because there's no one perfect here in this church, in the world. I want to tell you a deep spiritual truth. You have no more of Jesus in your life than you have in your relationship to your friends. You have no more of Jesus in your life than you have in your relationship with your friends. Every relationship is going to be tested. But I want you to know, because Ruth had a good reputation, she was going to be able to make it through this. She wasn't a fair-weather friend. How many of you know there are some people that you meet that are fair-weather friends? They're with you in the good times or if it helps them, but they aren't with you when things get tough. Number four, she knew how to make the right move at the right time. I'm not going to go into it, but you can read chapter 3 when you get home. And what happens is Naomi tells Ruth, go down to where Boaz is eating tonight. And what he's going to do is after he's done eating, he's going to go over and he's going to lay down by this big mound of grain. He's going to lay down. What I want you to do is go over there and just take the blanket that he's covered up with and just pull it and cover yourself up. Lay at his feet. And this was, again, evidence of Naomi to Ruth. Here's their relationship, a friendly relationship. It's a relationship that is going to make the right move. The right move is made at the right time. So what happens is Ruth goes down to the grain where the mound of grain is, and she picks up the cover that's on the foot of him, and she covers herself, her feet up with it, or she covers herself up with it. And what he does is he wakes up in the middle of the night and realizes that he's there, and a woman is not supposed to be on the threshing floor. So what he does is he gets a little nervous about it because he doesn't want anybody to see. And so what happens then is that she says, "You're my kinsman redeemer." In Israel, there was a thing called the levirate marriage, that if a person died. If a man died, he was married to a woman, the levirate marriage said that his next of kin, his brother, and then it would go down to different people, but basically it was his brother or the next of kin would marry her and raise children up to his name, in her ex or her husband who has died, into his name. And so she says, "You are my kinsman redeemer. You are the one that is closest to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invoke upon you the levirate marriage vows." That's what she's basically saying. And so Boaz, and again, what I just told you was all Old Testament. It's not New Testament. Boaz said, "I can do this. I can take you gladly to my house as soon as I can take care of the real next in line, because there's someone closer to you than what I am." But Ruth made the right move at the right time. Everything is working out. God has everything under control. So I want you to know there's a time to make a right move. How many of you have ever made a wrong move? How many of you have made a right move? There we go. Okay. Now, I want you to know that if you make the right move at the right time, that's called wisdom. That's called wisdom. And she got the right harvest, number five. She got the right harvest or the right blessing. Her harvest was that she got to marry Boaz. She married the richest man in town. God wants you blessed. God wants each one of you blessed. God wants each one of you blessed. God wants each one of you blessed. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. If when the winds blow and it's unpopular to preach that the Lord wants you to be blessed, I want you to know I'm always going to be going around telling you God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed. She wasn't out in the field anymore now trying to pick up a few pieces of grain. Things have changed now. She's going to be the bride of Boaz. Things are changing. Now, remember when she was out in the field following the harvester that goes through the field and she's picking up little pieces of oats? Now, she's the mistress of the field. She owns the field. She owns all the grain. She doesn't have to pick it up piece by piece. She can go down and get all that she wants. And what you sow in faithfulness, you will reap in a harvest. She was queen of the house now. She got number six, is she got the right son. How does that relate to us today? She got the right son. She raised a son whose name was Obed. Obed, who is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, who's the father of Solomon, but she birthed the right child. Now, how does this relate to us today, that she had the right child? She has a son whose name is Obed. The way this relates to us today is that we birth things in our life. If I have bitterness in my life, I'm going to birth that into other people. If I'm a bitter person, if I'm an angry person, what's going to happen is everybody around me is going to be angry. Everybody around me is going to pick up that root of bitterness. We birth things in other people. If you're a happy person, if you're a loving person, you're going to see that in other people around you. That's what we birth. She birthed the right son. What are you birthing in other people around you? What are you imparting to other people around you? I've always told my churches, when I stand up to preach, I am transparent. The people that can see through me the best are the ones that are sitting out there. You're the ones that look at me and say, is he telling the truth or not? She got the right son. She birthed the right thing out of her life. How many of you want to birth the right thing out of your life? You want to have the right things happen as a result of your being here. Out of right relationships, you birth the right kind of things that God wants. Number seven, out of friendship, you will have the right kind of remembrance. Obed begat Jesse, Jesse begat David, David begat Solomon. So when we talk about Ruth the Moabitess, we talk about a lady who, through the right relationship, just simply because she was a friend, she was a cleaver, just simply because of that, God blessed her. God wants to do the same to you today. God doesn't want to just see you a lonely person. God wants to see you blessed through your friends. If you have a right relationship with friends, who's your closest friend? I hope it's Jesus. I remember the time when I came home from work. I was working for the Bell System, and I came in the house, and at that time I was a person who always had to have the meal at the same time every night. No, nobody here is like that anymore. But Bev had made the meal, and we were sitting down at the table, and I looked at Bev and I said, something happened to you today. I said, I don't know what it is, what happened. And she said, Jesus walked into the house, and I asked him to come into my life. And I told him, I love you more than I love my husband, more than I love my children, more than I love my parents. And I said, wait a minute. I pay the bills in this house. But you need to have the right friend. You need to have Jesus first in your life. Then everything else will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added to you. She made the right move. She got the right blessing. She ended up with the right kind of reputation. She birthed the right child. But thousands of years have passed, and we stand here remembering Ruth. The right remembrance. Let me ask you for something. What are you going to be remembered for? What are people going to remember you for? What are you being? What are you working at to be remembered for? I love to walk through cemeteries and look at the gravestones and see what they put on the gravestones. Some time ago, I heard about one in Switzerland where these guys were climbing the mountain, the Alps, and they died, and down at the bottom they have a cemetery for all the people that have climbed and have died in avalanches or falling or whatever, and they have a cemetery where they bury them. And on one of the tombstones, it says, "He died trying." That's a good thing. I died trying. I died trying to make friends that are going to influence the world. What are you going to be remembered for? Are you going to be remembered as a kisser? Or are you going to be remembered as a cleaver? Are you going to be somebody who people say, "Yeah, I remember that. Man, they were so close to that person. Bam, they walked away." Just, they walked away. Or are the people going to say, "This is somebody that stuck with people. This person stuck with people. They didn't just cut them off. They didn't just let them go. They stuck with people." Because if you're a cleaver, you're going to have the right blessing, the right whatever. But let me ask you one last question. Who today remembers Orpah? She's not in the Bible. Just that one spot where she goes back to Moab. But Ruth is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Ruth is there. What is your genealogy going to be? I mean, what are you going to be remembered for? What are people going to remember you for? A kisser? A cleaver? A friend? Are you going to be a foe? One who tells the truth? Or one who tells lies? Are you a friend only at the good times, or only when it makes you look good and makes you feel good? What kind of a friend are you? Jesus is our closest friend. Will you turn your back on Jesus? Will you be like Orpah and want to kiss Jesus and then walk away? Or are you going to cleave to Jesus? Are you going to cleave to him when he's in the garden saying, "Would you pray with me?" Are you going to be somebody who's committed to the friends around you? Or are you going to just kiss them and walk away? That's what it all comes down to. Are you going to be a kisser or a cleaver? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would just move at this time. Father, you've given me this word to preach. Lord, it's yours. Father, I just ask that you move upon the people now. Lord, you would just touch hearts and draw them close to you. Bless them, Lord, as only you can. Minister to them. Lord, show us in our hearts whether we're kissers or cleavers, whether we're willing to stick it out with friends that we have or Are we just going to be good, fair-weather friends? Lord, we need you. We need you so much. In this day and age, Lord, when things are going the way they are, Lord, there's all this chaos going around all around us. Lord, we need friends that are going to stick. We need friends that are going to love you, friends that are going to stick with us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question. In your heart, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but in your heart, do you feel that you're a cleaver or are you a kisser? That's the question that I want to put to your heart today. Are you a kisser or a cleaver? If you're a kisser, you can change it all today. You can say, Lord, I don't want to just kiss and leave. I want to be steadfast, secure. I want to love my friends, and I want to stick with them. Lord, not just in the good times, but in the bad times, because it says a friend loves at all times. Lord, I ask that you would be with this people and help them. If they've said that they're a kisser, help them, Lord. Bless them and show them that they can, as Peter did, go out and weep bitterly and say, I want to change this. Lord Jesus, bless this people and minister to them. Help them as only you can. Lord, love them. Love them. And use us, Lord, as friends to love one another, even as Christ also loved us and gave his life for us. I want you all to stand. We're going to sing one last song. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you're here and you want to draw closer to the Lord and you say, I need friends. I need a friend to be with me. I need Jesus, but I need other friends to be with me. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to come. Come up here by the altar and we'd like to pray with you. I want to be your friend today. I want to stick close to you. I want to be with you no matter what you go through. If you have hard times, I want you to know that I'm going to be there with you. You're not going to go through them alone. I want to be a friend. I want to be a cleaver. I don't want to be a kisser. If you're somebody that needs a friend, you want somebody to be with you, you want Jesus to help you, you know, it says, are we weak and heavy laden? If you're weak and heavy laden and you need somebody to help you, please come. I'd like to pray with you. And we've got a lot of other prayer warriors that would love to pray with you. Are you here and God's speaking to your heart? Just come. Just come. Yes. Okay. Why don't you come? Okay. Why don't you come, Bev, and stand in? Anybody else? You have needs? Why don't you come, brother? Folks, there's hurts. There's needs around us, all around us. Are you here and you have a need? Please come. Please. If you want to pray for people that are here, please come. Bless them and minister to them.